Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and wow, I can't believe Cartoon Network remembers that the Moxie show was a thing. And with me, I have...
Somebody ate my Bojangles lunch this weekend, I want to know who.
And...
Yoinks! And the... Ow! Yoinks! And the... Oh, shit,
great, of course. Great, now there's glass and there's moths everywhere. Go away, moths. Your memes were funny for like a week. Now we gotta find the next big October meme. Since it's getting spooky, it might as well be something spooktastic. Which, oh shit, I forgot moths are scared. Shit, they're overstaying their welcome.
Oh, lovely.
Fucking creepy poor bastards, moths. Man. And not even the cool kind of moths, like Mothra. By the way, that reminds me, next year is that Godzilla movie. Sweet! This actually looks way better than the first one. But that's just one man's opinion. Anyway, here we are for episode 101, as we begin year 3 of this nonsense. So, how have you all been doing this past week?
Well, this past week... I've had a long work week. So long, in fact, that I got home an hour before we started recording.
Ew.
Yeah, it was one of those days. And as I mentioned earlier, this past weekend, somebody at my work ate my Bojangles, and I want to know who, so they can buy me a meal.
But, like, why would they do that? I mean, presumably it had your name on it, right?
Yes, it did.
Well,
they double like, have no excuse. Holy shit.
Yeah.
They're ruthless.
Yeah, that's why I keep all my drinks with me, such as, you know, my bottles of water, maybe a can of soda that I get from a vending machine, or even some Monster Hydro Blue Ice, which is delicious. John, there's something for you to drink on Twitch.
That's true. Yeah. Meanwhile, I think I'll just stick with Mountain Dew Ice with Cherry.
Oh, you too? All that stuff is good.
Finally, they figured out how to make ice work. Now they just have to think through the unfortunate branding, considering recent events in our landscape.
Yeah, methinks that wasn't quite as focused as it should have been, but alas, such is life.
Had the same amount of focus testing as anything related to Budweiser.
Ugh.
Although at least I could stomach Mountain Dew. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
It's been going all right. I will say I was expecting a package coming this Wednesday. It's a late gift that my mom says a thing. I don't know what it is, even though I kind of know what it is. Since my mom told me, we got you a gift. But I'm not going to see what it is, even though mom said that she told me what it is. I was like, okay, well, I'm just playing dumb to my sister because I know what it is. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you that. I know that you know that. It's that confusing shit.
Oh, and let me guess. Thing. It's more seasons of High School DxD.
Oh. Oh. And also, you notice that it's October. And it's still fucking hot over here.
Yeah, same here.
Well, I mean, to be fair, the planet's gonna be fucked in like 20 years anyway. Didn't you read the news?
People always say that, which is kind of true.
Just keep barreling towards our own extinction. Ah, sad times. Anyway, you were saying?
Yeah. That's all I got.
Ah, interesting. Anyway, as for me, well, I finally beat all of Spider-Man, and I do mean all of Spider-Man. 100%ed all the collectibles and shit. Even got all the trophies, which is something I quite literally never do, regardless of how into a game I managed to get. Wow, that was very clunky, but you get my point. Like, no matter how into a game I get, I rarely ever get all the trophies, because holy shit, who has the fucking time? Or patience? Or skill? But I did it, so yay me, I guess. But man, that's such a good game, and I cannot wait for some DLC. Also, this past weekend, a little event came rolling into well, about 20 minutes away from my neck of the woods, the much-anticipated demo of Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. I got there at, like, 10:15 and stood in line for well over 3 hours.
You should know, after doing Record Store Day, you gotta get there in line before the sun's even up.
I know, but, like, you know, you spend as much time up late as I do throughout a weekday, and you just want to get some sleep, man. You just want to get some sleep. I mean, shit, I was able to listen to 2 whole episodes of Podcast O&A in that time. Including the one that I was recently on to talk about My Hero Academia 2 Heroes plug.
Yes, good plug.
But yeah, so about 10:15, 10:20, finally got inside at like 1:30, and then, you know, 10 minutes later, you know, there was a line inside and everything. Finally got a chance to play a few rounds of Smash Ultimate, and hoo boy, this game is going to be some good shit. My only bit of upset was that, you know, as Tyler suggested, it was the E3 demo, so no Simon Belmonts or anything, just like, you know, some of the basic additions to the roster you would expect, all the DLC characters from the past versions, and of course Ridley and Inklings. I decided to try out Ryu for shits and giggles since I never downloaded him. Man, that game, when you fight, there is some fucking power in a lot of those moves, I tell you what. But yeah, basically, I can't wait for December to get here. Like, we got 2 more months, people. 2 more months, come on! I'm just rambling at this point. And yeah, was there anything else? No, I think that is about it. So, yeah, we can move on from all that formality stuff to the business proper. Of course, as always, we start off with the new song discussions for the past week, and there'll be a link down in the description if you want to follow along with us. You know, there's, looking over these tracks, there's actually a bit of a theme, a motif, so to speak, and that is guest spots and collaborations alike. In fact, we're going to throw it over to Mark, because he knows this stuff better than anyone, so take it on home, buddy.
Yes, the first collaboration is from one of my favorite producers, The Alchemist, and he teamed up with some rappers that one of them made an album this year that I damn love. That is the Griselda Boys themselves, Westside Gunn and Conway.
Woo!
And so they got this little one-off track, which is simply titled 94 Ghost Shit. You wonder, what the hell's that about? We're thinking about 94 Ghostface. Yeah, it's got this good blend of like
boom bap.
Yeah, it got the blend of that boom bap eerie shit which does remind you a bit of Wu-Tang. And you know both Westside and Conway, they do be spitting a lot. Like, you got these cool lyrics such as, "I can't wait to you niggas, this shit's not relatable. Grimiest of all time, this shit's not debatable. Chop out wave at you, your vest can't stop when I'm popping at the K at you. No matter what guy you're praying to, I'm not gonna play with you." Which, and that's from Conway. Like, Conway doobies to be something like, he's like both him and Westside Gunn do be giving some good some great bars. These boys are definitely one of the rappers, one of the most, well, maybe underground's tough to talk about, but yeah, this shit is a good one-off track. Good bars, good production from The Alchemist as always. And that's it. It's some good shit. Some good ghost shit.
I co-sign this. This stuff bangs.
Oh, yes. It definitely bangs.
And speaking of more stuff that... Yeah, more bang. We got another collaboration here. This one from 2 people that we've been talking about quite a bit and have been making the rounds quite a bit. That is Mr. DJ Muggs and Rock Marciano. He's been keeping himself busy, it seems like.
Yeah, he has. He released an album like way back, like Robo's Revenge 2, bit of those this year, and last in September, Behold the Dark Horse, which was last month. And yeah, that's the other album that was under the $30 digital download thing, which no, I didn't listen to. I wanted to, but yeah, I get why he's selling for that much. But anyway, the collaborators have teamed with a new album. Yep, it's coming this month, and it's called Chaos. That's spelled K-A-O-S. Built on 2019, and it got a first single out called "Shit I'm On." And I gotta say, the moment this starts, this is like the low-key shit that Rock Myself was associated with, and I like the production here where the twinkle in there reminds me of this old song I keep thinking of because when I hear the. It reminds me of that old song. I know the title like everything else, but anyway, like when it listens to who Rock Myself does, like he always does that, you know, that low key, low rumble, like rumble rap, like he lives the way this, like quotes like this, up for the shipyard, you rap subpar, fuck a roof, I cover the cars, like a dub bar, part the double R, pookie chunk car, this hog's double, because you're large, from the guard, you got dumped on. And this, man, if this is the shit he's on, then I want to hear the more that shit he's on. Like, this shit is the fucking banger. Well, not banger, but more like, I've listened to this shit. Like, this is some, this is like, you driving at night, listen to this shit, it just sounds so, it just sounds so fucking good.
Yeah, it certainly bumps, although I will point out it's weirdly mellow for a song titled Shit I'm On. I don't know, this kind of sounds more like it would be a No Worries instrumental, but, you know, it still goes, you know, it's still solid.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you can look forward to Chaos October 19th, and I just had to double check because I thought that was the name of, like, a Sepultura album. It is not. I'm getting that confused with something else. But anyway, let's move on to the week after, and yet another collaboration here. It turns out our dear perennial favorite Joji is dropping his full-length debut album October 26th called Ballads 1, which I assume is the musical equivalent of calling your movie the first movie. But yeah, so we got that to look forward to, and I'm assuming the previous song we heard was going to be on that one. But now we have a new single here called Can't Get Over You, and for those who have already been familiar with the Joji oeuvre across his previous singles and his EP, this is actually quite a bit different. His vocal performance is still, like, in that sort of moodier, lower register, like, you know, obviously he's not fucking, you know, saucing on you about how to make stir fry or whatever, or being a meme machine or shut the fuck up or something. But the actual beat itself, which actually comes courtesy of Adult Swim Festival performer Clams Casino, it's every bit as that kind of, like, minimalist, chopped and screwed vibe as some of his other instrumentals, but it's got this very groovy funk to a lot of it. Like, it gets into you and you can, you know, vibe with it. And I think Joji's pretty much aware of that as well, because the video is not really dramatic compared to previous music videos as much as it is just, like, that cornball, you know, Joji humor. I mean, he slaps an ice cream cone out of a kid's hand, and his posse consists of, you know, gangsters holding the plasma sword from Halo and the Keyblade from Kingdom Hearts, amongst others. So this is the more fun kind of Joji, and it is a fun song, you know, props to him for that.
Yeah, this is simply a good vibe song. I also got some additional help from Thundercat as well.
Very nice.
Oh yeah, like, yeah, this is very, like, bounce wavy track. Very short too. It's like under, like, 2 minutes, like I guess, like, what, at like a minute and 48 seconds. Like, damn, that is kind of short. Like, very short. Speaking of,
yes, speaking of short, and speaking of Clams Casino, we're finally getting around to that song he released as part of this year's Adult Swim Singles program, which, you know, is probably a couple weeks late considering that the festival already happened. And but, you know, we can always cover that when we got to, because we got two songs here on that program to talk about. Here he's delivering a song called Gravity, which is a collaboration with someone, I'm not sure if a producer or a vocalist, with the ever so unfortunate name of Pluto Nash.
no relation to that awful movie, right?
Well, I would hope not. Why would you want to associate yourself with that movie? People died because of it. I watched Robot Chicken, so I know this is fact.
and he spelled it as in... He spelled it P-L-U, the number 2-O. So, I'm going to call them Plu-2-O now. Damn, I'm doing it.
This is very... we are very confused about the logic of this name.
Yeah. But yeah, anyway, the song, yeah, it's pretty instrumental because there ain't no vocals, at least from what I heard. I mean, I think it's mostly just, you know, Clams and Nash, or Pluto, Clams and Pluto and Nash, like, basically, like, collided on production. Like, it does give, like, you know, that cloud rap sound, like, you get, and it sounds nice. I mean, it does sound like it's on a collab. I will say, I still like what he did last year than this, but this one's pretty good too.
Yes, it is some very, you know, fine stuff with that usual kind of spacey, numbing vibe to it and everything. But time to move on from all of those collaborations and spacey vibes, just to some straight up gnarly metal with the other Adult Swim single we have to talk about this week, and this is kind of a special case because. The album that this is on literally came out this past weekend, so it feels kind of weird to talk about it, especially since I haven't gotten around to that album yet, but, you know, we might as well bring it up here. Anyway, yes, the past entry in the Adult Swim Singles program is from High on Fire. It's a track called Spewn from the Earth that is actually the opening track of their recent release, Electric Messiah. And, you know, as far as your expectations of High on Fire music, those expectations are certainly met. It's a very, you know, thundering, driving, aggressive kind of tune. You can just feel, like, the aggressive, you know, meaty, chunky, chugging riffs, the fast D-beats, Matt Pike's fucking rocky, gravel-laden vocals. You know, the whole thing is rapid but steady, and there's a lot of, like, there's a really great bridge in there where, like, the vocals drop out just to leave, like, the musical onslaught just pummeling away at everything and how it, like, builds anticipation for that usual shreddy solo or everything. It's High on Fire. It's good. Go listen to it. Why aren't you listening to it? Come on, go. Now, yeah. Please.
Yeah, this is heavy. This is my kind of heavy, and it's a reminder for me to check out that album. I really should go and do that, shouldn't I?
Yes, you should. And it kind of makes me wish that I was able to catch that Adult Swim Festival performance. Although I have seen them live before, so I suppose that memory counts as well. But seriously, though, that festival sounds like it was nuts. And I would have liked to see Zach Fox again. That guy's a really fun host. But anyway, now we move on from that Adult Swim stuff to another one of the solo tracks here. This one being from Miss Mariah Carey again. Still no concrete information on her next album other than it's coming out sometime this year, but we had the second single following up GTFO, this time called With You. And, you know, just this is one of those, again, one of those simple love song ballad things that opens up with the line mustard on that beat, ho. Which that certainly sets the tone. He's on that very, very simple piano beat, apparently. You know, it's about what you would expect from this point, with the only real thing that stands out being, you know, the pre-chorus lyric. He said, yo, I've been loving you so long ever since that Bone Thugs song. As for which Bone Thugs song, my research is still attempting to dig into this. Maybe I should just check Genius.
I forgot, like, and people won't tell me, like, I know she was at a song, she collabed with Bone Thugs, like, fuck's been a long time. It's like, what, 20 years or something since that? Damn it. Yeah, it's been long.
Hell, if I know, do I look like I pay attention to Mariah Carey?
I'm trying to remember, but shit. But, anyway, about the song, as simple as it is, it's simple with the piano, it sounds elegant, it sounds like a classic 90s love song, which, it sounds nice, like, the mood sounds nice, minus that DJ Mustard watermark, which that nigga produces the thing, and, like, when I heard it, like, wait, what the fuck? It's like go from ah, this is so nice and soothing. Buster on that beat, hoy. What the fuck?
Yeah. Wow, that's actually in the lyrics on Genius. That is.
Yep. I checked it out too.
Yeah. Oh, and apparently, that Bump, Doug, and Harmony reference was a single to her song Breakdown from 1997 that featured Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Oh, that's the song! That's the song I was thinking of.
Yeah, huh. That's the song. And, there are also references to Chateau de Remy, which is cognac from France, playing Confessions and Our Bodies Blending, which is, a reference to the Confessions album from Usher, which, okay. Sure.
Okay.
But, outside of the rather gratuitous swearing in the last chorus, and just in the chorus, I guess, in general, this does sound like every Mariah Carey piano ballad I've ever heard. Not a bad thing, but, if you heard one, you've kind of heard them all.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, let's move on to Anderson .Paak and Kendrick.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get on that shit now. I've been anticipating this ever since they announced this shit.
Yeah, we're still waiting on a release date for Paak's upcoming album Oxnard. Come on, man, you're keeping us waiting. You give us a banger and then you give us this and not with no date. Come on, man. You're busting our balls over here. But yeah,
tell you to hurry up from the album.
Yeah, we got the single Tints, which is him and Kendrick, and Mark, go ahead.
Oh yes, it is. Everything I want. It's funky. It's groovy. It is so damn good. You got, cause you got singing Anderson .Paak on there. He sing his ass off, and cause you got the Kendrick verse, which, shit, he's pretty good. This is some good shit that you would dance to. This is funky, groovy, dancey. This is that good shit. The good shit. I feel like when he goes, like, I've been feeling like cooped up, trying to get some fresh air. Why won't you get the roof off? And never rains here. You ain't got a flash when you take your picture. You got to draw the extra attention. Probably want to shoot the niggas down for less, I hear. And of course, you got the good Kendrick verse where you got, you probably think a nigga trolling, like, or showing off the cameras right. Fuck, you think a fishbowl inside. $100 pressure, bitch. Been looking for the mall, from afar. I was made in this image. You call me a god.
Oh!
Oh man, like this. Okay, like okay, like this. Like okay, like he David Bros likes some good sing, like some good singles, and they are rather very different. Like they're vast, like very very different in in sense. Like you got first one being like this footwork type of thing, bubbling, which is kind of like this whole back of rapper shit, and this one is very very groove centric type of song, and. The more I think about Oxnard, the more like, I can't wait for this. And looking at what's to come, he said Madlib's was in the project, which, nice. He's like, okay, Pusha T and shit. Okay. Anyway, I can't wait for this album coming out whenever.
Yes, whenever. Which is not soon enough. But yeah, it's always good to hear Kendrick on a guest verse that isn't, bad. Which is clearly when he's with other rappers instead of, mediocre pop stars. Yeah. And yeah, can you tell that Anderson .Paak likes himself some Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I made a note of that. It's like a really good hybrid of 70s, 80s, and 90s, pop and R&B. It's very strong in the track, and Kendrick's got some solid bars.
Yes. The solidest. Wait, that's not a word. Well, I'll make it a word. But anyway, now we move on from the hype of, hip-hop collaborations, and move on to some metal! Yes, once again talking about the guys in the ocean who are dropping the first half of their Phanerozoic conceptual released Paleozoic on November 2nd, and, just to double-check to make sure I'm not misreading this article, apparently part 2 is coming in 2020.
That seems about right.
So I'm guessing that unlike the BT BAM stuff, this is actually going to be two proper album-length projects coming together into one, you know, Aula, Juggernaut, Alpha, and Omega, instead of just kind of a proper full album just kind of awkwardly split down the middle. Look, I liked Automata, but come on, that's the truth. Yeah. But yeah, so we have the second single from the album, Devonian Ascent. This one featuring guest vocals from Catatonia vocalist Jonas Renske. And yes, there is... This is a very, you know, lengthy track. This one longer than the last one. This one's like 11 minutes. And yes, a lot of that is very much reliant on repeating segments to build up lots of atmosphere and tense, posty kind of tension. Those opening minutes of very layered, fluttering, clean guitars across muffled drum work, you know, playing a lot of tremolos and these otherwise wispy kind of melodies. Then proper vocals at around, you know, the 2 minute mark. There's kind of this weird flappy sound in the rhythms. I can't tell if that's like a percussion effect or maybe some kind of guitar synth accentuation. But, you know, that goes on, it builds and builds, and then once we actually get into the chorus, that's when the distortion kicks in proper, and then things start to, you know, build heavier and heavier at a more slow, you know, steady tempo. And then that's definitely when Jonas's vocals kick in. Like, he definitely handles all, like, the heavy shit, and, you know, to his credit, it is some heavy, heavy shit. And as, you know, the rhythmic and melodic complexities eventually layer and layer, eventually all of that kind of breaks at around the last few minutes just for some pure, like, sludgy, posty, doomy, heavy, and dark. Wait, where was I going with this? I mean, I like the song overall. I believe that. That is my point. I'm just trying to sum up the experience here, so to speak.
Okay, so last time we talked about the ocean, the track felt a little too overly repetitive for my liking. This track grabbed my attention. I really like the more atmospheric vibe, how it sort of builds from the beginning and leads into the later sections, whether it's the clean verse or the heavy verses or that sludgy bass line toward the end of the song. And I gotta say, the clean vocals here really do complement the instrumentation in that first half. And the second half just gets heavier and, well, it works too. So, I'm a bit more interested now in this album than I was before, if that counts for anything.
Indeed, it does. But now to move on from that to another November metal release, The Lads and Cult Leader, November 9th, their sophomore album, A Patient Man. Now, of course, the last single we got was this very frenetic mix of, like, harsh grind and grooves and, you know, melodic and rhythmic dissonance of all various kinds. So imagine my surprise when they released their newest single, To Aklis. You know, like, they're addressing this to someone named Aklis, which I think is supposed to be a god, deity representation of some kind. I probably should have looked this up beforehand. I do terrible prep work. But anyway, imagine my surprise when this song was completely the opposite of that. Like, they've done a couple of atmospheric songs in the past, but those are usually still, like, a very sludgy kind of atmosphere. This one is more... I would say it's more along that sort of funeral doom styling. Like, it opens up with, like, this drifting, melancholic, clean guitar melody, or melodies, rather. It kind of sounds almost like, you know, Isis or Pelican or something. Something in that kind of post-metal feel. This slow building drum beat and, you know, clean vocals that are, you know, sung in a very deep intonation. Not quite Leonard Cohen deep, but think within that range. And yeah, the song just continues along this whole, like, post-metal as fuck bent to it, with really the only break being, like, this lone, like, bridge of, like, bass whole notes that kind of build the tension back into when the full band kicks in. It's this really, like, numbing, emotionally numbing sort of track that pretty much never gets into direct onslaught fuck you heavy, but definitely carries an emotional heaviness to it that I can imagine being, you know, a nice palate cleanser amidst all the musical chaos wherever this pops up in the track list.
Okay, I'm gonna be honest, I don't know what to make of this. I got nothing. Could be because I'm dead tired after a long day, or that I got, you know, other music on the brain right now. But listening to this, it kind of made me zone out. I can appreciate it for what it is, but personally, yeah, this really didn't invoke any kind of big reaction from me. So, pass.
You know, you're going to regret that, because we're about to provoke a big reaction out of you right now with our last song this week, which comes courtesy of Jaden Smith.
Okay, let me just say, I blame the Melon for making me take a listen to this. He did a track review of it, and I just had to go, okay, how crazy is that beat? And, yeah, it is what it is.
But let's give some context here. So Mr. Kaz Can himself, by the way, what the fuck is going on the Neo Yokio Instagram?
Nothing, and we are going to keep it like that, okay?
Good. Anyway, it looks like Mr. Smith is preparing a new project for November 17th called The Sunset Tapes, A Cool Tape Story. Wow, that is so clunky, it could practically be an RPG title. Hell, that probably sounds like it could be a Kingdom Hearts spinoff. Kingdom Hearts, The Sunset Tapes, A Cool Tape Story. Something like that, I assume. But, yeah, so with that announcement, we have a new track from the man that is appearing on this release, and it's... Wow, really? First, we're doing Nicki Minaj referencing Street Fighter, and now Jaden Smith releases a song called Goku. And, okay, I'll give him a minor bit of credit. At least he doesn't falsely... Well, okay, hang on. It's debatable whether Goku is the good guy of Dragon Ball at this point, especially given where I'm at Super right now. But at least he doesn't erroneously ascribe any non-accurate characteristics to Goku, which is more than can be said for Miss Minaj. But yeah, this is one of those trappy-as-fuck, you know, rap jams. Although I will say his flow sounds weirdly like Triple X Tentacion. I don't know if that's just me or what, but that's the vibe I get. And, you know, the beat itself is kind of nuts. There's those sharp, you know, brass horn stings on various parts of the beat. And then it, of course, uses one of the age-old stock sound effects, the Howie scream. And yes, I only literally found out yesterday that that is what that particular stock scream is called. Not to be confused with the Wilhelm scream. Now I gotta, you know, keep track of that whenever it comes up in the movies. And yeah, that just kind of awkwardly crops up at points in the song. You know, now that I think about it, I should probably edit a sample in somewhere in here so people should know what I'm talking about. But yeah, that props up in the song, and, you know, at least it's not a sleepy-ass trap banger, but, I don't know, I get nothing out of this. And I'm not even sure why he's comparing himself to Goku anyway. That's still confusing me.
Is he more like a Trunks if he's like a Trunks or, what's the Gohan, or I don't know, any of the motherfuckers.
it makes even less sense in context. The lyrics go, my credit card didn't go through. I'm balling. I feel like I'm Goku. Like, what does one have to do with the other?
I mean, I don't even think Goku has credit cards. I'm sure Chi-Chi controls all the finances in that house. Because, you know, if you like Goku with the money, he's going to spend it on some dumb shit.
that about a lot of food. Probably. I mean, the nigga was hungry.
Anything to say, Mark?
Yeah, I listened to this, like, at first, I forgot about this track when you put, until you put it up. I was like, oh shit, I forgot about that track. This was like, wow, this is some weird shit, because it almost sounds like when it gets to the other part, it's not like a rap EDM type of shit. I mean, not like the shit that his father be doing sometimes, but yeah, this, it's whatever. Like, I just went once, and it's like, I kind of don't care to go back to it. I mean, I was too busy going to the other tracks, which was better. So, yeah, this that was like a oh shit, I forgot about that track. I gotta look at this shit. Type of
thing. Well, remember, we wouldn't have to talk about this if it wasn't for someone else pasting it in the chat.
Again, I blame the Melon.
There's only so many times you can blame the melon. What is it? Is did Calcicesta induct you into the Illuminati? Whatever. Anyway, that pretty much about does it for all the song discussions. So we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we got a couple of news topics here. So stay tuned for that. And we're back. As I said, we only got two bits of news to talk about here, but they are fairly notable ones. So, starting with the first one here, you know, people are still very much, you know, upset and railing over the unfortunate passing of Mac Miller this past month. So, you know, in the meantime, everybody's been, you know, sharing their, you know, stories, their, you know, mournful anecdotes and all that. But there's actually going to be a benefit concert that's, you know, coming up pretty soon. The tickets are already on sale. The show is actually staged for October 31st, Halloween, at the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. The benefit concert is meant to actually launch a benefit fund, the Mac Miller Circles Fund, which I believe is managed by his mother, Karen Mayers, I think. Let me see here. She says, the support we've experienced is evident in this amazing lineup and is a testament to Malcolm's incredible life. He was a caring, loving human with a smile that could light the sky and a soul that was out to make the world a kinder place, and the MMCF will continue to do just that. Now, truth be told, I didn't look into this too much, so I'm not sure what kind of benefit fund specifically this is for, but we do have an actual preliminary lineup for the benefit show here. So starting this is in alphabetical order as listed on the poster. So performing at this benefit concert will be Action Bronson, Anderson .Paak, Chance the Rapper, Domo Genesis, Dylan Reynolds, Earl Sweatshirt, Jid, John Mayer, Miguel, Jamza.
I don't know. Sounds like either.
A Dragon Ball Super character. Schoolboy Q, SZA, Thundercat, very nice, Travis Scott, Ty Dolla $ign, Vince Staples, and more. Not bad. Not bad.
It's a good lineup.
So I'm going to be the one to ask, is Ariana Grande going to be part of this?
I have no answer to that.
I don't know.
That's the big elephant in the room here.
Yeah, I can't really be the one to decide that, but I guess we'll have to wait in the coming weeks, you know. We still got quite a ways to go until Halloween. It's going to be a big, awkward question mark hanging over the whole thing.
Pretty much.
We will keep you all posted in the meantime. And now for our other news topic this week, something that's really confusing, and, okay, so earlier these past couple of weeks, it was revealed that apparently Toys R Us might not be fully out of business. I mean, they're going to try and, like, you know, break themselves out of their bankruptcy state and, I guess, readapt their branding or strategy, which I think involves maybe opening new stores in the States or just focusing on overseas efforts. Either way, apparently the brand is not as 100% truly dead as we thought, despite having filed for bankruptcy. Because apparently so you can potentially, in some aspects, work your way out of Chapter 11 in certain scenarios. And apparently we have another company here that's, you know, not giving in to bankruptcy, and that is Gibson.
Yeah, so a couple months back we talked about Gibson, as in Gibson Guitars, or Gibson Brands, however you want to call them, filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection and trying to restructure the company. As it turns out, there's been some restructuring going on, as the private equity firm of KKR & Co. is going to be stepping in to lead the Gibson brand under one condition. That CEO Henry just Kiwix. I'm sorry if I butchered that name, but old white dude. Let's call him old white dude.
Sounds about right.
At least I think he is. Would be removed from the board, which, yeah, I think a change in leadership would work. Just, you know, being a guitar guy, seeing this company kind of make some products that doesn't really care that much toward, you know, people. I'm just saying they put out some weird guitars lately that seems a bit excessive, but we're not here to talk about that.
So, oh, are they the ones that made the 18-string guitar that Jared Dines plays?
No, that was a company in Australia.
Ah.
Yeah. They don't even make 7-string guitars, so, you know, except for that one that Matt Keefe has, but whatever. So the plan is Gibson will be relaunching in November with a downsized number of employees, about 800. And reportedly, from a statement made to Bloomberg, KKR director Matthew Ross says the company's new board will be mostly guitarists, which is good. That's a good step in the right direction. But business is one thing. Trying to sell your crap to people is another. And lately, they haven't been doing a good job of that, as I mentioned before. Sure, they have Slash as their big guitar spokesman, but trust me, regular people are not going to spend $4,000 for a Les Paul when they can get a more versatile guitar for a fraction of the price. Trust me, I know. I have a $200 Ibanez guitar I've been using for years. I've gotten a lot of mileage out of it. It may not be fancy, but it gets the job done, and that's what people want. So, Gibson, I hope you're paying attention to what the people want. You know, unless you're going to try and keep selling people $4,000 guitars that look awful and have weird electronics that nobody asks for, especially on those 2019 Les Paul models. Ugh.
Damn.
But yeah, you know, first off, as a fellow Ibanez player at one point in my life, I can testify to that point. Kudos. But what I'm wondering is, I mean, I think maybe with, like, you know, all the guitarists that they're hiring as employees at the company, maybe that means they can tap into what people actually want out of an instrument and, you know, maybe be able to sell people stuff that they would actually want and use. But then there's all, like, you know, the higher cost, you know, more dense, intricate business stuff. And, you know, being a good guitarist and, you know, understanding manufacturing stuff doesn't mean much if you don't understand business. But then again, if they know how to, like, downsize things efficiently to, you know, sell more efficient models that sell at high volumes instead of, as you say, like, $4,000 fucking shit stuffed with electronics that nobody asked for, maybe they might pull themselves out of this for the long term. Who knows?
Yeah. I guess we're just going to have to wait and see how the restructuring will go. We have another month until the quote-unquote relaunch begins, and maybe there'll be a showing of Gibson at the Winter NAMM show in either Vegas or Anaheim. I never remember where they hold it, but this is going to be an interesting period for Gibson. It's going to be a sink or swim period. And trust me, these guys cannot afford to sink anymore. They really can't. This is it. If they can't get their crap together after this, that's it. Game over.
Sounds about right. So we shall see where this goes. But anyway, that basically does it for the news discussions, and now we're just going to take, as always, a look at what are the upcoming new album releases for the week of October 12th, 2018. Yes, not quite Friday the 13th, unfortunately. Missed it by one day. But to start off, we have the newest album from friggin' Atreyu called In Our Wake. I guess?
I literally have not heard of them in over 10 years.
Same. Anyway, next up, there's a new EP from Crossover Thrasher's Iron Reagan with Dark Days Ahead. The newest one from Death Metalers Beyond Creation with Algorithm. Spelled like, you know, an actual rhythm, because, get it, puns. Anyway, we finally have the new solo project from Tom Morello with the Atlas Underground. We got a new one from Prog Rocker's Polyphia with New Levels, New Devils. Since we mentioned Joji earlier, another alumnus of 88 Rising, Keith Ape, is dropping his new album, Born Again. We got a new project from Mr. Quavius himself, called Quavo Huncho, which I thought that came out already. Album. Or am I thinking of Huncho Quavo? I lose track of these things.
I don't fucking know. It's the album with the weird Fantana lookalike art cover.
That is true. We have a new album from indie rocker Kurt Vile with Bottle In It. For the old people out there, we have a new Elvis Costello and the Imposters project called Look Now, and a new Eric Clapton release called Happy Xmas. And for people who thought this group was already fucking dead, but apparently they found time recently to start kicking around, we're going to get a new album from the Black Eyed Peas called Masters of the Sun.
Minus one Fergie.
So it's like, what's even the point? She's the only reason anyone gave a shit. But, I mean, are we going to get a sudden tour de force of personality from Apdiap? Or, like, fucking Taboo, who I think was in that shitty Street Fighter movie?
Ew.
Or am I thinking of Tekken?
I don't know. I don't know.
They were both crap anyway. I don't know which group.
Oh, no, wait. It was Street Fighter, The Legend of Chun-Li. He played Vega.
Really?
Really. Huh. Yeah, that's fucking weird. But yeah, that about wraps up all that. So now to clean house and get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
You can't find me on there much more, but you know the name, or of Azure, and I just sort of pop up whenever I feel like it nowadays because, you know, life's too short to be bitching and moaning about, you know, everything. Stop being cynical, you assholes.
But you're cynical on this podcast.
That's my gimmick, you know?
Ah, so you're just mad about people encroaching on your turf.
That too.
Noted. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Usual, find me on Twitter at MacTapperMedia, where we're basically at a point of this episode, at least episode, that poll I posted just ended, and yeah, it's unanimous. My 200 Emmy review is going to be Pop Team Epic. Come in whenever, because I got other shit to do before doing that. Oh, by the way, 99th View with Devil May Cry Baby coming up this Halloween. Also, by the way, my site, MountHyper1.wordpress.com, still doing Time of the Season stuff. Yeah, that's all.
By the way, Mark, beef or chicken?
Beef.
Your life has been spared. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, CuriousCat, at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com with questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video goes up on the YouTube channel, so just search that whole thing. Remember to follow us on Twitter, @SurrealRezo. You know, all that stuff. Visit us at surrealresolution.com. Listen to this podcast. Listen to Podcast O&A. Check out all our dank written content as well. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can shitpost memes and everything. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Bless you, Mark. Links to his shit down in the description. See how smoothly I did that? I think I'm getting better at these. But anyway, thank you. And I just ruined the momentum, shit. Anyway. You threw off my groove. Anyway, yeah, that basically does it for episode 101. We'll see you next week. And of course, we'll see you for the album roundup. It's happening, guys. So yeah, until next time. Seriously, I could have watched a Lord of the Rings movie in that amount of time in line.
Next time, get there early!
I wanted sleep on the weekend, Alex!